Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening, welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend across Scottish football. The gap at the top stays the same after Celtic leave it late to see off Motherwell. Rangers had stretched it temporarily with that 5-0 win against Hearts, and there were big wins for the likes of Ross County, St Mirren, Hibs and Kilmarnock, with another set of midweek fixtures just around the corner. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans.
Chilling and thrilling, that's how I describe the weekend action involving Rangers and Celtic. Chilling, I think, the word to describe the way in which Rangers dismantled Hearts, who had gone to Ibrox with 8 wins in a row behind them. They don't half miss Andy Halliday in that team. It was 5-0, could easily have been 7 or 8-0. Meanwhile, at Fir Park, thrilling in the way that Celtic came back. They were booed off the field at half-time. After 90 minutes, it was 1-1, and they were in danger of being 4 points behind Rangers at the top of the table. But they rallied, they scored those late goals that are characteristic of their season, and they fight another day. But for me, in general terms, one team at the top is going from strength to strength, and the other team is hanging on by their fingertips in the title race. I'll let you work out who's who.
Rangers 5-point lead at the top of the table lasted in less than 24 hours when Celtic unfortunately sunk the mighty well in the 94th minute plus. A weekend full of plenty of news, plenty of drama, but the biggest news of them all is while Roger Hannah is sunning himself on holiday, it's a return of Halliday and Keevans.
You're delighted, aren't you?
Oh, he phoned so me
earlier,
happy.
He phoned me earlier to double check who he was alongside, the unlikeliest duo in worldwide football media, back together on 0141 951 1025. So give us a call. What are you thinking after a big weekend? How do you feel about the title race now? Simple as that. Goes to both sets of fans. At Rangers fans, I am assuming you were delighted with everything you saw at Ibrox. That must have given you another shot in the arm. Celtic fans, what did you make of yesterday? Andy Halliday and myself had a vested interest. You came out on top on that one. So what did you make of it? Is it the type of win? We've said this before, but it still remains. Is it the type of win that maybe gives you that incentive, gives you that shot in the arm to turn things around, be a catalyst for a real title charge? Or was it a performance that worried you in the first half? How would you sum it up? 0141 951 1025. Adam Ida, time to acknowledge that he's been a very important January signing, perhaps, when you look at the goals that he's scored in certain games. Again, give us your thoughts on him on 0141 951 1025. And anything else that's out there. Big wins, as we said in the headlines, for the likes of St Mirren and Kilmarnock. A big game down at the bottom. In fact, let me pass to my esteemed colleagues to whet your appetite, because you two can give out some early Monday awards. What was your result of the weekend?
Well, I've got to go lower divisions all the way down to League Two and give it to my old pal Ian McCall, manager of Clyde. Started the day bottom of the league, and they're still bottom of the league, but they're playing the team at the top of the league. They went a goal down to Stenhouse Muir in Stenhouse Muir, and they won 6-1. The fight back starts here, Colley.
See, who says he's not a student of the game? Dipping into League Two for his result of the weekend. What was yours?
As baffling as that result was, I'm going to go with a bit more simpler one in Ross County. When you've won your first game on the 5th of December, I think you're a deserving winner. I gave it to Livingston last week. They've not followed that up with a result against what you've got to say was a 6-pointer going into the game at the weekend. So I've got to give this one to the Staggies.
Okay, goal of the weekend. One of you better mention it.
Well, let me go first then, because it's my only chance of grasping something from the game yesterday.
There wasn't much to celebrate in the
end. So I've got to go Blair Spittle. It's his second goal of the week award that I've gave him since I've joined the Steelmen. And what a fantastic goal it was. Got a bit of everything. You know, I like a bit of a team move in there. A moment of magic for young Lennon Millett. know, take that ball in a half turn and spin away for trouble, but then the composure to lay it on to Blair Spittle, wait a pass, great, and then what a lovely finish into the far corner.
I'll go Adam Eder in the same game. Terrific cross from Greg Taylor, even better header for Adam Eder, and Celtic owe him big time. He was the one who prevented them from losing points at Easter Road when he scored two terrific penalties. He was the one who saved Celtic from losing another 2 points at Motherwell yesterday with his two goals. I think come Wednesday night, Celtic at home to Dundee, I think for the first time since Kyogo Furuhashi arrived in this country from Japan, he may find himself starting a game on the bench, and Adam Eder will be the one who begins against Dundee.
Okay, what we left with Howler. I think you had a few to choose from. If my watching of the highlights,
a good few.
What
there was a standout for me, and it's the second week in a row that I've went for a player which is very, very unlike me. But Trevor Carson.
Well, he'd give it to himself, wouldn't he?
He'd give it to himself. I think you could see that with the reaction when the penalty was awarded. But listen, he's been a fantastic goal in Scottish football. Had a fantastic season last year. Continued that with Dundee this year. But I'm sure he wasn't watching the sports scene last night after giving away that penalty.
So if anyone's not seen it, he comes for a cross, drops it, then tries to sort of
three howlers in one.
And then he tries to chase it down, bring someone down, penalty. So
wait. Bring someone down, they've always their life at Ipswich for a penalty.
It was an understatement.
Could it have been compounded, the felony, with a red card?
Nah. No, I don't think in that instance.
Neil Warnock would have called it manslaughter.
We'll let him away with it. What was your howler?
Mo Sangare. If you're bottom of the league and you're playing the team who are second bottom of the league, you really need to do better than he defended, and it just put additional pressure on. I felt so sorry for David Martindale. 2-0, gets it back to 2-2 and lost with a goal in time added on, but them's the breaks, and you have to have your defenders defending better.
Do you think that's how David Martindale put it to him in the dressing room at half time? Listen, you have to defend better than you did.
Not quite sure.
It could be slightly stronger.
I've already seen the pictures when the full time whistle blew at David Martindale's reaction, so I don't think that's how he reacted at all.
Let's finish on a positive. Top man, top performer.
I'm going to go outside the box. Yeah, I'm going to go for the Morton manager, Dougie Imrie. 15 games on the bounce, undefeated now. Now, I hate to intrude into private grief. We know that he knocked Motherwell out of the Scottish Cup. Hearts are going there in the next round. And, you know, the way Morton are, Capello, be a tough old day.
I'm going outside the box as well.
I encourage you to do that.
I'm going to go Niels Coppin. Anyone who doesn't know who that is, it's the technical director and the head of recruitment at Rangers Football Club, because I believe that the 3 January recruits Rangers have made could be, and I stress could be, the difference between where the title is headed. I thought you've seen that in full effect on Saturday against Hearts. I thought the impact that Diamandi and Cortez in the starting 11 has been a revelation to add to the squad. And Fabio Silva and Desser seems to be doing that ham and egg roll perfectly, where one comes in, scores a goal, gets rested the next game, and the other one comes in, scores a goal as well.
0141 951 1025. Monday night, you know the drill. We just look back on as much of the weekend as we possibly can. So let's not waste any more time. Not that those two are a waste of time, but Jamie is on the line. How's it going, Jamie?
I'm fine, panel. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Pleasure. Jamie, what are you thinking tonight then as a Celtic fan? Can yesterday be the catalyst, or was it still a worrying performance, or somewhere in the middle?
Well, I would like to, if you could let me finish what I'm going to say, because I'm not going to have a second point. I'm just going to have a batter on here and just get into it.
Okay.
The first half of that game yesterday, I thought, you know, it looked all right on paper. The first 45 minutes was totally inept, as in a manager of Brendan Rodgers' standards. I was ready to switch it off at half-time after 45 minutes. I thought it was absolutely shocking. No disrespect to Motherwell. I thought they played that excellent game. But it's the same old, same old. The second half performance, what can you say? We get away with it again, and that's all I'm going to say. Now, I wanted Brendan Rodgers to go in at the first half, disappear, pack his bags and just go away. Because if this is a performance, you can say all you want about it, like a sticking plaster over the problems that exist in Celtic right now. And a lot of supporters won't be happy with what I'm going to say. But I really don't think that he's going to improve that team one iota, honestly. I think he was clutching at straws yesterday, and I thought the first the first team that he put on in the 45 minutes, I thought he was basically trying to appease the fans, as in putting Kyogo where he should be playing, etc., and putting everybody on what he had at his disposal. But at the end, I mean, I should be happy because we won the game, but I'm really not, because we've got Hearts to play.
Now, Dundee to play before the Hearts?
Yes, and I'm dreading it. I'm dreading it.
Brendan Rodgers so
just,
has a...
Just let me test it though, Hugh, before we... Jamie, like I said at the top, sometimes, and I've seen a lot of it in social media, people say that, you know, when you're not at your best and you dig it out like that and you get a dramatic win, sometimes that can be the kick up the backside you need. Why is that not the case for you?
The simple reason is he doesn't know his first 11. It's as simple as that. If you look at that game yesterday, I think the way he changed that team and put that team on was to appease the fans. Right, okay, we'll play the way Kyogo plays, we'll Maeda and all the rest of it. You know, I think that's what he done. But it wasn't working. It wasn't working. And then he changed it. And I think we were fortunate. The number nine idea come on and played. And that guy, you know, he did show his ability by the two goals that he scored. But if you take him out of the equation yesterday, what would have happened there? I mean, Motherwell really had a go at us yesterday, and they could have been two up. So where would that have left us then?
Mm. To sum up, Jamie's not happy despite the win, no. Hugh. Just on some of it, I would get, I think Celtic fans would agree, but not sure we can say, you know, if Adam Ida wasn't there, where would it have left us? Because it was, you know, that's what you signed for. Why? What do you make of Jamie's assessment? What was yours?
First of all, Jamie is representative of that element within the Celtic support who have a real problem with Brendan Rodgers now, and the manager, I think, looks like someone who is under strain. Sounds like someone who is under strain. And when I said that one team, and I mean Rangers, is going from strength to strength, and another one is holding on by its fingertips, I mean Celtic. The performance at Motherwell was consistent with all of Celtic's performances since football resumed after the winter break. They have been getting out of jail, most notably at Easter Road and at Motherwell yesterday. They didn't quite get out of jail at Pittodrie, 1-1, left the 2 points in Aberdeen. And this is the way in which Celtic are proceeding now. I wouldn't say categorically that Celtic will beat Dundee on Wednesday night. It'll be yet another struggle for them, and Tynecastle will be even worse on Sunday. They don't have a settled team. They have players in the team. He started with Kuhn yesterday. I'm very much afraid that, you know, there's no humour in this. He's never going to be a Celtic player.
Seriously, already? Done, written off.
I really don't.
Weeks in.
He's 24 years old. And he's very, very weak. And not what Celtic need at this particular time. When Yang come on, it changed the game. Likewise, Adam Ida. And in particular, Cameron Carter-Vickers, when he came on after an hour. Navrotsky and Scales didn't look a happy partnership. Celtic are clinging on, game by game. And meanwhile, Rangers are going from strength to strength. That's the problem.
I've hung about with Hugh long enough to know that Nicholas Kuhn's going to score a hat-trick on Wednesday. Exactly. So anyway,
do you want any money on that?
Please gamble responsibly.
Well, listen, Gordon, you said at the start, is it a catalyst for the rest of the season? Was it hanging on, or is it somewhere in between? I think it's fully in that hanging in between, because I thought it was a game of two halves. I thought we win at half-time 1-0 up and thoroughly deserved to be 1-0 up. Could have been more. But it's funny how the narrative can change between fans in terms of what they feel towards a manager. Because if everything was rosy at Celtic and Celtic fans were happy at Brendan Rodgers, Jamie and his fellow Celtic fans will be phoning praising Brendan Rodgers for his substitutions, because ultimately they were the ones who won Celtic the game. The introduction of Yang, Ida and Carter-Vickers, for me, were the catalyst in Celtic's second half performance.
And it would go down as... that's the type of win that can sometimes win you leagues.
Absolutely.
That's when you would hear that stuff. But because it's been a bad spell,
and because so-called Celtic fans are so frustrated with the manager at these present times, they can't give him praise when praise is probably due. So it's been pent up frustration for weeks now. You know, Brendan Rodgers said last week that he felt they nearly got away with it. I thought their second half, as much as I'm saying it through gritted teeth, their second half probably warranted two goals, and a big part of that was down to substitutions.
01419511025. Thank you, Jamie. You can call from other parts of Glasgow and the West. Thomas is also in Kilsyth. What was your take on it, Thomas?
Hey, Gordon, how are you today? Andy and Hugh. No, I think, again, the first half was really poor, Gordon. You know, we just couldn't string passes together, you know. We looked lackluster, we looked slow. But obviously, the second half, when Ida, Yang and Carter Vickers come in, I think Yang changed the game, you know, and so did Ida. And Ida was brought up to score goals, I think. And I come on here a few months ago and slated the Blue. But, you know, since he pulled us at home against Hibs, and again, he's pulled us at home yesterday against Motherwell.
Does he have to start next game, Thomas?
I think so, Gordon. He's got to start. Much as I love Kyogo, I love the wee man, but he's just no. Bernard Rodgers is playing him in the right position.
He doesn't even look happy. His face used to light up Celtic Park, Kyogo. It doesn't look particularly happy. The reason why I say Celtic are hanging on by their fingertips, where Rangers go from strength to strength, the weekend marked the point where Philippe Clement has had 19 league games as Rangers manager. And over those 19 league games, which is half a season, Celtic have dropped 9 points more than... I'm explaining this clumsily. Rangers have taken 9 points more than Celtic, which sums up Celtic's inconsistency and speaks for Rangers' consistency. And this is what Brendan Rodgers is having trouble addressing. Celtic are staggering from one game to the next, and they just do not look comfortable. Even though they're only 2 points behind Rangers, it does not look comfortable.
If there was one positive that you had to pick, if you had only to pick one, would it have to be Adam Ida? Andy, I'm not trying to pretend everything is rosy and go against Hugh too much, but like we said, if you were to take Hibs and Motherwell, that contribution from Adam Ida is sort of shown how important he's been in the short time he's been here, without being brilliant or starting every game or lighting the place up. If you were to take those goals away in those two games, that 2 points would be a lot more.
Yep, he's came in such a short space of time. He's won them games. He's won them two games in particular. But I thought yesterday was a lot more than just his goals. I thought his overall contribution to the game, his hold up play, his willingness to run in behind, playing the shoulder, play up against centre halves, pin people, roll them, spin them, create chances for others. I thought his overall performance in that 45 minutes was exceptional. But again, we touched on it, Hugh touched on it as well. I thought Carter Vickers and Yang at opposite ends of the pitch, I thought made a huge difference. Yang's biggest thing about his introduction to the game is enthusiasm. I just thought Nicholas Kuhn, I thought he made the game so predictable in the first half. Again, everything was coming inside to bodies and not really making an impact going forward. But Yang had that ability to add energy, add tempo to the game. You know, go outside, go inside, 1-2s, running behind and mixed up the game, made it a lot more difficult for us to deal with. And then Carter Vickers, for me, for as good as we were in the first half, and we really were, I was amazed at how easily Celtic allowed us in behind in the first half. And I thought that was because the positioning and our off-gating scales was they were too far apart. Neither one of them were able to cover each other when the ball went in behind. Look at the second half, how many times we played the same passes as we did in the first half to play in behind. And who was there in the right position to cover them up, Carter Vickers?
So Thomas, can results like that be a catalyst, or is it papering over the cracks? The last caller thought it was papering over the cracks, but you might be a bit more optimistic.
Well, I think we need to play better, Gordon. I think it's obvious that we need to play better, you know. But I think, obviously, they're rocking scales. The two of them look lost, you know, scales. I thought Scales was not, I don't know about during the middle of the season, but for me he's not a defender, play centre back.
Okay, thank you very much to Thomas. It's a good time to call. We'll start hearing from the managers, the likes of Brendan Rodgers. Maybe you Motherwell fans want to pick Andy Halliday's brains about your part in it yesterday as well. Give us a call and we'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Andy Halliday are in the building. Gary is in Motherwell. How's it going, Gary?
I know, too bad. How are you getting on, guys?
Not bad, not bad, Gary. You didn't have far. You weren't far from the game yesterday. What did you make of it, though, from a Celtic perspective?
It was obviously a game of two halves, but as I say, the first half, for obvious reasons, wasn't it a great performance by Celtic. But as I say, the second half was a totally different game. And like I say, I think certain Celtic fans are a bit harsh on certainly the manager, especially some of the team as well, because obviously dies in my head. He's got two tap-ins yesterday. He put say two in, Celtic won the game 5-1. Nobody's really criticised the overall performance, do you know what I mean? It's as much as some of the Celtic fans on here, it pains me to say it, they need to drop the negativity and start getting behind the manager and the team. It's conceding the league and just the constant negativity towards the managers, it's embarrassing, to be perfectly honest with you.
If you're giving Celtic two extra goals, I'll need to give Motherwell at least one or something for the chances they had in the first half. But yeah, but maybe there's something in that. I'm not saying Celtic deserve to win 5-1, does Celtic need a bit of quality? You know, do some of their attacking players need to sharpen up quality wise, whether it is Dyson Maeda or
Kyogo
or others?
It's just not what it used to be, but it's consistent with how it's been since the new year, and Celtic have to address that problem. Again, I go back to...
Let Andy Halliday speak, because something's wrong with your mic by the sounds of it. I'm sure it was going
to
be brilliant stuff, but it sounds weird, so get that fixed.
Well, listen,
you take over.
Listen, Dyson Maeda is that bit of enigma, isn't he? Even the game yesterday, he's such a threat throughout the game, but sometimes it is just that final ball. You see the one in the first half that he puts over the bar with his left foot and he ties across.
Flat.
The Gordondale season ticket that he's never went to in about 20 years. And then again, the chances, gets in great positions, makes it really difficult when he runs in behind, his intensity, but that final finishing, that's what's let him down at times. Kyogo, no, I feel as if we've spoken every Monday for the last sort of 7-8 weeks, but the fact of the matter is he isn't playing the way he played last year, and his numbers are still okay, by the way. They're not great, they're not what you're expecting of a player of his quality, but he's just not offering what he was last year. Is that down to a different style? Potentially, because I do think that Celtic's number 9 just now is expected to link the play a lot more, come a bit deeper to then maybe thread someone else in behind. And that's when I touched on about Adam Idea earlier, with that physical presence, that being able to not only play on the shoulder but play up against centre-halves, and obviously comes for the first goal. How many times did Celtic get in that particular position that Greg Taylor was in the first half but refused the cross, whether it was like Nicholas Kuhn coming inside like I touched on, but then they fling the ball in the box in the second half, and Adam Idea is that presence that gets on the end of it and wins Hugh Keevan's goal of the weekend, which I'm sure meant more to him than the 3 points.
Gary, there is a real split already. I know we're only a couple of calls in, I'm looking at social media, it's so split between Celtic fans who are saying this is rubbish and we're kind of plastering over things here, and others who think no, this could be the start of something. You never know, it's all too negative. You sound certainly more in the second camp there.
As I say, I'd seen a start, was it yesterday? Obviously, Brendan Rodgers will never be Ange at the end of the day, but 2021, 2022, Jota and Abada got probably just over 50 between goals and assists between them. Pretty similar in the season after that. This season, that service isn't there, so I feel bad for Kyogo because he's not getting the service that he once had. So I say the wingers are obviously the stuff that's went on with Abada this year. It's obviously out of the club's hands, but so I say I just pinpointing certain fans just blaming the manager all the time. It's just it's an easy get out. I think everybody's well aware that the signings that have come in the door, they've not really been Brendan Rodgers signings, but as I say, he's having to work with work with the tools that he's got.
Surely Nicholas Coon must have been the way. Even if, by the way, Brendan Rodgers is claiming them all from the summer, said he was involved in the process. Understand some people look at the time frame and how that worked out, but he must have had something to do with Nicholas Coon's transfer, surely.
Sure, to be honest, but as I say, definitely not the summer, because Brendan Rodgers doesn't know the Asian market, for example, and obviously the Australian market. You've seen players like Talio, Kwon, all these guys coming in the door, but Adameda, thankfully, he's obviously chipped in with some goals, but as I say, that was more of a, I think for our point of view, it looked more at a panic loan at the end of the window. Obviously, no business getting done, but it's one that's potentially going to work out. He's putting himself about, which is pretty good. But
is he going to start from now on, do you think, or certainly in the next couple?
I'm a massive Kyogo fan, to be honest with you. But I just feel bad for the guy. Like I keep saying it time and time again, like you see the runs the guy makes, and the players just don't find him. It's, as I say, you check the stats, the goals and assists for Jota and Abada, even Maeda over recent seasons. The wee man's had loads of service, and he's been clinical when he gets the service. But as I say, when that service isn't there,
it was a strange feeling yesterday, Hugh. If I can put my own bias on it for just a quick second, where it almost felt like Kyogo going off wasn't a good thing. You know, usually you would think when a, do you know what I mean? The main striker for the opposition goes off, but you got the feeling Celtic actually would improve when he went off, which is a weird thing to say.
Ordinarily, this mic is not working.
I think
you
got the
rush. You get your cold beans. I'll take
mine. Use mine. On you go.
Ordinarily, if Kyogo goes off the park, you think, "Oh, that's a bad move," but not on Sunday at Motherwell. I think Gary will have to appreciate that Celtic at the moment don't look like a happy club. There's criticism of the chairman and what he had to say in the mid-season accounts about how difficult it is to get players in January, and then all of Rangers' signings from January score and Celtic's signing in January scores too. There's also unhappiness over the Abada situation. It may be that he will never play for Celtic again because of a section of the Celtic support. The players, Dundee's a very interesting one on Wednesday night. The last time Celtic played Dundee at Dens Park, it was the most one-sided game in the history of football. Celtic had something in the order of 23 corner kicks. They were all over Dundee, and they went into the winter break feeling good about themselves. They've come out of the winter break, and it's stuttering, stammering, stumbling from one game to the next, getting out of jail, and they do not look like a settled team or club at the moment.
Give me that mic back. Apparently the producer says we have to unplug you. I don't know if he means your mic or you specifically.
Oh, I've come back.
That's
now.
Better. That's
turn
better.
Them off and back
there
on. We there we go. Magic. Anyway, thanks to Gary in Motherwell. We're keeping it in Lanarkshire here because Gary thinks there should be a bit more positivity. Get behind the manager a bit more. Mark in Hamilton. Is that something you can get on board with or not?
It's quite late, Gordon. But two players I need to speak about. I came on a few weeks ago and I seen the lad Coon for 25 minutes his first game at Celtic Park. I said to Hugh, that's never a Celtic player there for, I think it was a $3 million we paid for him. No, I'm sitting there yesterday watching that and I was shocked and stunned watching him playing football yesterday. And then on the other side, we got a lad Maeda. I don't know where they think the boy's a winger, but no one at Kyogo is just disillusioned with what he's watching in there because he's never got any get anything off of the two on each side.
I think Maeda's been a good
dreadful.
Maeda's been a really good player for Celtic.
He'll still give you something. If the quality's not there, you still know the work rate always will be.
If nothing else, he's a pest for the opposition. But he had one of those days. Now, Coon has one of those days every day. But Maeda had one of those days yesterday. He missed sitter after sitter. He takes inexplicable decisions like trying to head a ball that's far more easily kicked into the net. So he just had one of those days. But, the whole team at the moment, they look as if they really are uncomfortable. I don't know whether it's the system, personnel, what's going on, but Adameda has been the one breath of fresh air because he's come in, he's enjoying not being on the bench at Norwich and actually getting a game. And I think he's got to start on Wednesday to prolong at least that one air of positivity about the team right now, and it's Adam Eder.
This is not my intention to tell everybody that Nicholas Kuhn will come good, because I've absolutely no idea, Andy, and I don't have many positives about the performances so far. I just wonder if we should always acknowledge the long, long, long list of players the world over who did look like they could do nothing wrong at the start and then developed. Off the top of my head right now, who's the most relevant here?
Cyril Dessers.
Ridvan Yilmaz.
It could be a potential other one, yeah.
Took a long, I mean a long time though. Like Dessers, it's been quite quick. Yilmaz, for everybody. And now all I'm seeing on social media today is Rangers fans raving about him. I don't know if that'll happen with Nicholas Kuhn, but should people at least give him the chance to?
They should, but the fact of the matter is that Celtic and Rangers are in the first title race for over a decade. So the people that were signed in January were signed to give them that exactly. advantage that, to come and make an impact straight away. So the fact of the matter is, as harsh as he ain't got 2-3 months to improve. He's got to make an impact now. I just think if you're a winger with pace, which I certainly don't have, if you're 1v1 with a wing back, your eyes should be lighting up. That's your opportunity to make a difference in the game, to take him on the outside, to drive at him and try and create chances, make an impact. And again, I keep talking about it. I don't understand this need to come inside the pitch all the time when you're taking a 1v1 situation, coming inside the pitch, and now you're against 3 men, 4 men, 5 men. This is a really, really small detail, Gordon. I don't know if I'm maybe overthinking this, but see for me.
Think away.
See if he's coming on the pitch again, play him on the left. Honestly, play him on the left, because if he wants to keep coming inside, at least he's coming in his stronger foot and he can see the rest of the game instead of coming into his weaker foot and making no sort of impact in the game. But I'd be amazed if Brendan Rodgers hasn't seen the same, where, you know, again, he's a bit too one-dimensional at the minute. And to be honest, I thought Palmer was probably a little bit similar at the start, where playing on the left-hand side, constantly wanting to come in his right foot and sort of whip the deliveries in. But you then seen over the next sort of 3, 4, 5 games, he had that sort of chop down the left-hand side, stand-up cross. But, I mean, if you're asking a technical detail, try counting the left.
The managers get into a mindset where they say, everyone is saying this guy's hopeless, I'll stick with him.
No, but I wonder though, because that, is it not part of a bigger problem where it's not like Brendan Rodgers is leaving out other standout, brilliant wingers, Mark, is he? You know, Nicholas Kuhn probably did deserve a chance because no one else has taken it either.
Watching last week's the game for the lad, I don't know how he starts yesterday, but he did. And nothing changed in the first half. So I don't know what Brendan Rodgers watched in last week's game, but he's not really learned anything, the manager. And you're watching the lad struggle. Andy said it. I don't understand a right player playing the left and whatever, vice versa. Play the right winger on the right wing and the left on the left, and we'll see it. I would see it. You're looking for something to get to that byline and put it in your strong foot. I just don't get this. My head is the same. He goes past a player and then he balloons it a bit nearly over to the corner flag. Just play them on the left and play on the right. Go to help.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Mark. We'll leave it there. 01419511025. Really busy on these phones. If you think there's something that's getting missed and you want to bring it up, call us right now, because it is lively out there. And whilst you do, let me run this past you. Finally, our run of rollovers came to an end on Make Me a Winner as Viv won £142,000.
Different class, Viv.
She says she felt like a dream when she got the call, I'll bet. Don't want to know what Hugh Keevan's dream's about, to be honest. And the money's in our bank account already, because it's payday payout week this week, and we could make you the winner of £144,000. Paid into your bank straight after the call tomorrow, but only if you're in the draw. Text YES to 61025. Text or £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition can be found online. If you get the call after 3 p.m. tomorrow, answer within 5 rings, say Make Me a Winner straight away to win £144,000 in your account by tea time. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Andy Halliday here, looking back on the weekend's biggest talking points. If you think we've missed one, give us a call and let us know. We could do an extended show at this rate, because it was a very, very busy weekend. Let's bring in Brian, who's a Celtic fan. How are you, Brian?
I can't. Okay, I've been better, obviously. Celtic's recent performances. And the point I'd like to make, I remember the week Nicholas Kuhn's signed. There was this, that Austrian football journalist come on, and he pretty much sledged him. I thought it was quite harsh, and it was a wee bit OTT, but I must say, the guy's spot on. He's just not got it. Just ain't £3 million player.
Yeah, I remember it well because, look, there's something we do all the time. For anyone who doesn't know the backstory, if there's a new sign-in or a European opponent, we try and get you a bit of an inside track. The truth is, yeah, I've got no idea what they're going to say. I don't know. And usually it is kind of positive feedback. It's just part of the way it goes.
It's always over the top in favour of the
and player. Brian's right. This Austrian expert came on and basically said Nicholas Kuhn was a bit of an underwhelming Celtic signing. He was not worth the money Celtic paid. And we got dog's abuse on Twitter and in my emails. And I said it earlier, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I still think you need to give him more time. I'm not going to jump on here and say we told you so, because that was never the point of it. There is a little tiny part of me that wonders if all those who sent abuse would apologise for the nature of it, but that's just me being bitter about it. I still think Hugh, he's a human being, he's a young man, and you can't write anyone off that quick. But by the same token, clearly an underwhelming start.
The scatterguns out. You know, if it isn't Maeda, it's Kuhn. If it isn't either of them, it's the manager. If it isn't the manager, it's the chairman. That's the place that Celtic are in at the moment. If it's not the chairman, it's the chairman's son, because he's head of recruitment. So whatever has befallen Celtic since the resumption of football after the winter break, you can't lay it all at Nicholas Kuhn's doorstep. I think if I were the manager, I'd be leaving him out now, giving this time to calm down, bring him on late in the game, whatever. But
again, is this not part of the bigger problem though? Because that's kind of what they're trying to do with Yang. And Palma's not good numbers, but he's not doing it consistently either. So at some point, one of them is going to need to get a bit of a run in the team, though. Is it Yang's turn now then?
Well, right now you couldn't give Kuhn a run in the team because Brian and the other supporters have made their minds up. But all over the place, there are players who are not playing to their normal standard. There are players who have been brought to the club who are not up to the standard required, and that's why Celtic are stumbling from game to game, hoping to get by. And it will be the same old struggle against Dundee on Wednesday.
The barrage of abuse came because they found out the Austrian expert was from Mogai.
No, this guy was legitimately Austrian.
No, I don't believe it. I've heard a couple of accents. But no, I think you're spot on in terms of Yang. I think I've been one of his biggest defenders, probably, believe it or not,
like
on
Yang,
this show.
Yeah.
Because I've seen glimpses of a player there. And to be fair, I think the majority of that has been when he's been asked to come off the bench and make an impact. Unfortunately for him, he's not really replicated that in the few starts he's had. I think the last one that springs to mind was the Champions League game. I believe it was Atletico Madrid at home. But the issue is, for me, it's difficult if you're being asked to come off the bench 3-4 games, play really well, you get one start, if you don't perform, you're back out. That's it. It's an opportunity again to make an impact off the bench, and he's probably been one that's been starved of that run in the team to make an impact. But I'd be amazed if we look at the team sheet on Wednesday against Dundee and Yang's not a starter as long we had him either. But I'm sure that Yang will be wanting that run of games to try and get up to the speed of things.
Ryan, you don't sound like you're taking huge heart from a good turnaround and a dramatic win and hoping that can kick things on. You're not feeling that's a possibility.
Something's far missing. I mean, the Rodgers and the team, and even Hawaii, something off the boil of it, probably because he's one move to a Madrid sell through, and there's just something no right there, and I just kind of see how it's going to be remedied quickly, because I mean, for the first time in a while, I'm pretty because what is that? So,
line broke up a little bit for me, certainly. Then I think Matt O'Reilly was mentioned, another one.
Yeah,
he quiet again yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah, he came on late in the game, but I don't know. I would have to speak to Matt O'Reilly personally to know if what happened with regard to Atletico Madrid has affected him that badly. It may just be that Matt O'Reilly has, after a terrific start to the season, gone through a bad period. But as I said earlier, everything about Celtic now is a fight. Some fans don't want the manager. The chairman's getting it. Chairman's son's getting it. Everybody is getting it. And that, for me, is consistent with a club that is in a place where I don't think you can win a league title when fan and club are in opposition to each other.
Is it not as simple as saying that Matt O'Reilly's played in a different position since the January transfer window?
But did he yesterday though?
Well, he played his two eights, whereas before he was that sole number 10 behind whoever the striker was. Since Adam Ida came in, there's been two or three games where it's been Adam Ida and Kyogo, and he's been the deeper one with Callum McGregor. Yesterday he was, because it wasn't that sole number 10, it was sort of him and Callum McGregor as a two hiatus.
Why that then? Because, no, listen, you'll know more than me, but I just, as a layman, almost assumed that when Adam Ida didn't play, then that allowed, you know, Kyogo would be higher up the pitch. Why is Matt O'Reilly not doing what he used to do then within that?
I just think when he was that sort of sole number 10, that one to find their pockets of space in front of the striker, that's exactly what he was doing. But now it's a bit more crowded. I thought, listen, I've said that again, I think Brendan Rodgers subs won the game for Celtic yesterday, but I thought the lineup that started the game, I thought was all wrong for me. I thought Callum McGregor even playing as that higher up one for me didn't work. I was actually going to pose the question to Brian and other Celtic fans. I was amazed with the reaction of Celtic fans for Awata being subbed. I thought it was a nailed on substitution because I don't think his impact deeper or Callum McGregor higher was working.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. He thinks people have already written the story of Celtic's season, but he's urging his players to make their own. He also doesn't think a draw would have even been a disaster in the title race.
No, listen, if we drew the game, 4 points is nothing. It really isn't. With 11 games to go, it's, you know, it's not insurmountable lead. But obviously to get the win is important for mentality and also convincing of how we play. And if we play with those connections and play with that aggression and that mentality, we can we'll win more games than... and we'll draw or lose. So, and I think the story's already written for us this season, and that is the one thing that I again reinforce with the players, that all the noise, everything that's been around this team and this for virtually the whole season, we get the chance to write our story, no one else, and that's what we'll do. And wins like today is very, very important for that and for the belief. So now we go into our next game, and like you say, the optics of it, yeah, it's 2 points and very, very close, but I think that's how it's going to be through to the end. But it's a bit, you know, playing with that mentality in the second half.
It was actually one of Brendan Rodgers' other post-match interviews, Hugh, that seems to have created a lot of headlines. I actually thought we'd get some calls on this. We haven't yet. If you feel the need, then 01419511025. For anyone who's not seen the story, so he ended an interview on the BBC calling reporter Jane Lewis a good girl, or said good girl, which has led to various accusations ranging from sort of patronising, condescending, as far as casual sexism. I think some like women's rights groups have spoken out about it today and are not particularly happy about it. What was your take on that?
I think the reaction has been overblown. I don't think that Brendan Rodgers is the type of person who would have wanted to offend Jane in any way. I know Jane, terrific person. And, you know, I'd like to know how she feels about the reaction to what took place. From a generational point of view, I will say that I am convinced that I have called both of my daughters, my wife, my granddaughters, good girl at some point. But they are my children.
Family, yeah.
Yes, that's a familial matter. But I do not think that Brendan Rodgers was in any way trying to be offensive or condescending where Jane Lewis was concerned. I think, again, it's characteristic of a manager who is under pressure, and he keeps talking about outside noise and the optics. The optics are that Celtic had an 8-point lead at one point over Rangers and are now 2 points behind, a 10-point swing. And those are the optics that the fans are concerned about. And
if so what would you describe it as then? Is it a bad choice of words? I've seen people point out, which I can testify to, having been on the receiving end of it. He tends to round off interviews with male reporters with sort of good lad, good man. I've then seen people, I think, quite fairly point out that good girl hits a bit different to good man. There's something about the word girl that maybe hits a bit different for a lot of people.
That's unfair, I think, because a good man, good girl, you know, it's the same thing, only a change of gender. But I wonder how many...
I think the people that are making that point are, say, you know, without getting really pernickety about it, would be that good boy would be the same as good girl. And again, this maybe feeds into what you're saying about it being overblown and overanalyzed, but I think that would be the distinction also, for some people.
Also, those who are up in arms about it, try and put yourself in the position where you're a football manager with a team who are under great pressure in the league to win the league. And you've gone through an afternoon, the likes of which he went through, which ends in the most dramatic fashion and satisfactory fashion for Celtic. But you're then put in front of cameras, radio, newspaper men, and if there has been a tone in his voice that people find unsatisfactory, then okay, you're perfectly entitled to your opinion, but put yourself in his shoes. And managers who are thrust in front of a microphone after an extremely stressful afternoon, maybe the tone can be questionable, but I do not believe it was meant to be offensive in any way.
It is that time of the night already, would you believe? Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. A good chance to kick off the week with a victory for the listeners. You can take on Hugh Keevans or Andy Halliday and win yourself a money can't buy sign. Clyde One Super Scoreboard ball, but your calls need to be in before 7 o'clock. Let's hear from you. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. If you want to give us your thoughts on the weekend's action, lots of opinions on Celtic's trip to Fir Park yesterday. Bit of a split, some people looking at the positives and Adam Ida and maybe hoping that it's a kick on for Celtic. Others a bit worried about elements of the performance and some of the individual efforts there as well. But if you want to keep going on those themes, you can do. Rangers fans, might be a good time to hear from you. Very positive last we left you on Saturday, a 5-0 win against Hearts. Everything was heading in the right direction, the new signings chipping in as well. So if you want to share your thoughts there, now would be the perfect time to do it, and we'll play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see, you've got a... usually on a Monday, it doesn't really matter. Heads is difficult, tails it's difficult. Whereas tonight's a bit more unpredictable.
Oh?
You're... I don't know.
Flip-flop.
You're a roller coaster on Beat the Pundit.
Back to the tails now.
Is it your mic that's not working out? Great.
Hello?
What a classic night for broadcasting this is. Honestly, what a place. Have you done something? Did they leave you in charge of setting
up
the mics?
Do I look like the type who would know what to do with any electronic equipment?
Turn them off and back on again.
Hello?
Nah, still no use anyway. Heads, it's Hugh Keevans. Tails, it's Andy. We'll get to that. One of them will play Sean in Bells Hill. How's it going, Sean? Hi, Sean. Can you hear us? It's just great.
We're back.
Sean, can you hear me? Going to play each other, I think. I heard something. Sean, how are you?
How you doing, Gordon?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, living the dream, mate, living the dream.
Good, that's what I love to hear.
Positive,
that
man.
Do you want to try and topple Andy Halliday, or would you rather go for the more unpredictable Hugh Keevans?
No, I would go for Andy Halliday. I think too much expertise.
Quite right, aim high. I don't know about that, but anyway, heads it's Hugh, heads it will be Hugh, tails it's Andy. You're in a different seat tonight.
I know.
Don't know if that changes things. You're in the Roger Hanna throne.
Hopefully I've got his knowledge.
You don't have to worry about that. It's heads. So it's Hugh Keevans against Sean from Bells Hill. So let's give Hugh some greatest hits radio to listen to, and that way we can get the questions ready and Hugh can't hear us. Sean, I'm sure you've heard it before, but just to clarify, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Oh, perfect, thank you.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. What MLS team does Scott Arfield play for?
Pass.
Name any player that got a double in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend.
Adam Ada.
What type of animal is the Ross County mascot?
Lion.
Who's Celtic's current number 5?
Liam Scales.
Which club links John Sutton, Kyle Lafferty and Craig Gordon?
Hearts.
Which team is currently top of the Lowland League?
East Kilbride.
Jack Butland was on loan at which English Premier League club last season?
Crystal Palace.
Sean, would it not be better to just hand the phone to the guy that gave you all the answers in the background?
That was my dad there. He's probably better option, mate.
But you were the only one willing to put yourself up and take the heat on air, is that right?
Yeah, I was taking the risk, mate.
Good
yeah.
man. What's your dad's name, Sean?
Frankie.
Good effort from you, Frankie. Let's see what Hugh Keevans can bring us. Hear me now.
Oh, the classic.
You were nodding away there. What you
Marvin Gaye. Heard it through the grapevine. The classic.
Right, let's get it on. But anyway, right. Oh. Let's indeed on Beat the Pundit. 30 seconds, your time, and the same question starts now. Which MLS team does Scott Arfield play for?
Vancouver.
Name any player that got a double in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend?
Adamida.
What type of animal is the Ross County mascot?
A stag.
Who's Celtic's current number five?
Carter Vickers.
Which club links John Sutton, Kyle Lafferty and Craig Gordon?
Hearts.
Which team is top of the Lowland League?
East Kilbride.
A late strike from Hugh Keevans. Sean, do you think you've done enough?
Maybe 50-50 there.
I'd go along with that, to be honest. I think that might be a good way of looking at it. Let's go through them. Which MLS team does Scott Arfield play for? Former teammate and friend of Scott Arfield, would you like to confirm?
Charlotte.
Oh. You mean you didn't see the video of him playing his guitar to all his teammates last week? It was shared on Instagram by Jack Grealish.
Remember we did the caption of what I was showing on my phone?
Roger, that's what you showed Roger last week, wasn't it? I got some really dodgy suggestions.
Where would I get Instagram Nokia?
That's a good question.
Just next to your snake.
Steady. Do you know what annoyed me about that video? How boring did his teammates look? I know when the guitar comes out, it's not for everybody.
I mean, if he did that in Scotland, I'd be like, put that away, Scott. Stop.
That's true.
I'm embarrassing yourself.
Never mind all this malarkey. Did Sean get it?
No, he didn't either. And we move on from your snake very quickly. Who got doubles in the Premiership?
Ida, take your pick.
Brophy, Anderson, Dessers. You both went Adam Ida. You were both correct. 1-1. What type of animal is Ross County's mascot? I'm afraid, Sean, it is not a lion.
It's definitely not a lion.
It's a stag, which Hugh Keevans got. Right, so Hugh Keevans goes one in front. Celtic's number five. I'll be honest, I didn't think I'd have got that. Under the gun.
That's in the Rocky.
Lager Bielka. No, he's not. No, hold on. Stuart's inquiry. He's four. I think you're right.
Scales.
Which one of the producers wrote this and is getting thrown under the bus? We'll name and shame it. Is Liam Scales
my favourite player? I was going to say,
is he your favourite player? Huh. I'm loving Sean's mood, his energy. Right, so we're level then. It is Liam Scales. What clubs links John Sutton, Kyle Lafferty, Craig Gordon? It's Hearts. You both got it. Who's top of the Lowland League? East Kilbride. Both got it. You ran out of questions there.
Uh-huh.
And Sean got one more.
Ooh.
Jack Butland was on loan at which English Premier League club last season? Sean said Crystal Palace. Sean, it was
Manchester United.
He was a Crystal Palace. He did. You hit the post, I'm afraid. So it means we're on to a tiebreaker. Are you up for that?
Yeah, really.
Come on, Hugh.
Come on.
Right. What?
Right, here's the deal. I'm going to ask the question. I'll get Hugh to write his answer down. I'll then invite Sean to give me his attempt. How many international games have the Scotland men's team played?
Ever?
How many international games have the Scotland men's team played? Write it down. You were probably there at the first one, so. Okay, what are you going for, Sean?
300.
Right, okay. Hugh's gone for 760.
300.
Sean's gone for 300. Sean, it breaks my heart to tell you it's 823. Oh. So Hugh Keevans is actually not that far off. Hard line, Sean.
Oh,
well,
giving my best as always. Listen, at a tiebreaker.
Exactly, Sean. Well done,
Sean.
To you. Thanks
well
for playing,
done, Sean.
No, you did not. Thanks a lot, Sean.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Brilliant. Sean and Frankie, you haven't heard this. Frankie. Sean's dad, he answered all the questions in the background, but Sean was the spokesman. I don't mind that. A bit of teamwork.
Great energy about him.
That's all you can hope for a Monday night, is that level of enthusiasm. And not bad by your standards. 760, 823. You're probably at most of them.
150 years we've been playing.
Yeah. First one was good though, you said it was.
Well, it's Partick, because I was born there, you know, so I only had to walk down the road to the West Scotland Cricket Club. It was easy.
Get your hieroglyphics for your match report. I'm sure it was a classic. Anyway, 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. Let's dive straight back in on the weekend's Talking Points. Graham is a Rangers fan. He's going to kick the second hour off. How's it going, Graham?
Hi, panel. Thanks for taking my call. I've only got about 5 minutes. I'm just about to start work. But
let's just talk about that. Where are you working?
I'm in the GRI. I'm a nurse up at the hospital.
Brilliant. Well, so, keep up the good work, Graham, and take it away with your point. We won't keep you.
Yeah, it's just a quick point. So it's just basically to sing the praises of John Lundstrom in the past few months for Rangers. I do think he's been absolutely sublime. I've been watching his games and his stats and stuff like that, and he's tracking back, he's intricate passing to set up, you know, goals and what potential goals. I just don't think the guy's getting enough praise this season so far. I know Rangers went through a lot of injuries and, you know, things like that, and I look at the current squad and I think to myself, if Lundstrom was to go out injured for any reason for a length of period, I think that would have a huge effect on where the trophy will end up this season, because I think that guy's been absolutely unbelievable. He's tracking back, his work rate, you know, his overall contribution has been, you know, unbelievable this season, and I just think he's fitted in so well with the current squad and the way Philippe Clement's got him playing. I just think the guy's playing out his skin this season. Not heard so much about it in the media and papers, etc., but I think the guy is, you know, he's turned the screw, and I know he's out of contract next season, but for the way the guy's playing just now, he surely deserves another couple of years. He's been absolutely sublime in that Rangers 11.
He very nearly made my performer of the weekend, Graham, but he was just put to Neil's Coppin because Gordon was adamant that was outside of the box this week. But no, listen, I think Philippe Clement came in at a tough time and had to play with the cards he was dealt. But initially from the get-go, he obviously improved what he already had, and I think the big benefit of that has been John Lundstrom. I think he's been outstanding since Philippe Clement came in October. You quite rightly pointed out his overall sort of impact in the game, but you know, he's added assist to his game, which has never really been a focal point, but he's making an impact in the final third of the pitch as well, and listen, he's been outstanding. He's actually out of contract this summer, I believe.
It's a wonderful time to be discussing a new contract.
Yeah, certainly after the form he's been in, but
is that the reason behind the form? Is that what you're telling me?
Potentially, you never know. But you even just look at it, Gordon, we've spoken about it, how much Philippe Clement's rotated this current Rangers side. But John Lundstrom's a constant. Yeah, you only really look at Conor Goldson, James Tavernier, and John Lundstrom is the only outfield player that are constant.
What does the future look like, do you think, there? Because you know, football, if you were basing it just on the 90 minutes and the performances, John Lundstrom's getting a new deal every day of the week, Andy. And I would imagine Philippe Clement wants to keep him. He's 30, by all accounts. He's a high earner or one of. Think that, does that change anything at all, or has that become a priority again when it maybe didn't look like it was a couple of months ago?
I don't think it changes whether he gets a contract or not. It might change the terms of the contract, because, listen, I'm only speculating, but I'd imagine he'd be in the maybe top 3, 4, 5 highest earners within the club. But Philippe Clement and Rangers currently are talking about these sellable assets. I think John Lundstrom's probably in that bracket where he's no longer going to be a sellable asset. If he signs a 2 or 3 year contract at Rangers, then he's then bridging into the 32, 33. He's probably past the years where they're going to sell him for millions of pounds. But one thing's for sure, I think he's shown this year and previously, it must be said, a little bit more sporadically, but certainly consistently this season, that he's more than deserving of a new contract.
Can I just take the huff and be grumpy for a second?
No, why not?
Graham throws in that one about the media. I've not read much about it. Philippe Clement has had an unbelievable press. A variety of Rangers players have had a tremendous press.
I don't think it was a criticism. He's just saying he thinks John Lundstrom needs a bit more praise.
I've read much about it in the media. Well, that's because...
You mentioned him once in your column.
Every other player and the manager have been getting an incredible press. And I'm sure that somewhere Lundstrom got his share as well. So there's no attempt there to sweep John Lundstrom under the carpet because he's playing too well.
Graham, what have you got? About a minute left. You need to go.
Well, I'm a minute late, but it'll be fine. Let's go.
How do you feel about the title race after the weekend then? There were no points gained, but was it a sort of confidence-boosting result and performance, or how do you feel about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the sort of performance that takes me back to the Benfica game the season before, I think it was, where they played it unbelievable. That's obviously the best I've seen them playing this season, but there's still got to be twists and turns. There's two Old Firm games still to come. There has got to be games where I think Rangers are still got to drop points. I do think it will go to the wire, maybe the last game or two of the season. But I've got a lot more confidence now than I did have a few months ago when obviously Michael Beale was in charge. But I think going forward with the Benfica match as well, I think that will be a turning point for us. I reckon we'll go through on that, and that will give us a major boost towards the title. But yeah, high hopes.
Brilliant. Enjoy your shift, Graham. Hope it goes smoothly for you. Graham on the line. Is it true you were the one that was secretly running Michael Beale's burner Twitter account? Giving him the praise. You've been on here for years praising his tactics. I'm now can see it all come together.
I stand by it. I think he's a very good coach.
You're always saying to me as well that you don't have Twitter, but you seem to see a lot of things that are on Twitter. I think I've rumbled you.
I've got a Twitter.
You got a secret one, have you?
I've got a secret Twitter, absolutely, but I don't tweet from it. Like that.
Search for it. You're a bit like that.
I'm a big Twitter fan, to be honest. I love it.
You're a social media. Is that you always been like that? Is that a football thing? Because your Instagram's it's a bit low-key as well, isn't it?
To be honest, it was when I came back up the road and signed for Rangers. The first thing I thought was get straight off social media. There's no need for that distraction.
Probably a wise decision. Anyway, what about Ian, who's a Rangers fan? Ian, what are you taking away from that weekend?
I'm taking away the fact that I was like 50-50 whether Rangers were going to win the league or not. But after seeing them at the weekend and how well they played and the kind of togetherness, and I'm thinking that I'm probably about 80% sure now that they're going to...
Must have been a heck of a performance to add 30% on in one afternoon.
Oh yeah, I mean it was phenomenal. Honestly, I mean every single player was bang on it, the substitutes were bang on it. There's a togetherness that Celtic won't seem to have just now, as you said. And I'm nearly at a sit to the producer and all. I like to give Hearts a lot of credit, and people might laugh at me for that because they get beat 5-0. But we always want people to come out and try and play football in Scotland and not put everybody behind the ball. Hearts did that. All right, they came. They got a bit of a sore at the end of the day. But, I mean, it was good in the sense that they never went into their shell. They never...
It was good in the sense that your team beat them?
No, well, it was good.
Because the only scenario that you ever praise a team for that is when you take advantage of it. Hearts could have parked the bus and maybe only lost 1-0. Who knows, Andy? I know it's one of these things that you can't really measure it and it gets kind of thrown out there, but does there seem to be that, whether it is momentum or togetherness or these types of words, is that where the confidence would come from if Ian was right and that is where the title ends up?
Yeah, certainly part of it. I'm probably leaning towards more Graham's opinion, where I do think it's going to go right down to the wire. I think both teams will drop points outside the two Old Firm derbies. And listen, Rangers got a very difficult game on Wednesday against a Derek McInnes team that have took plenty of results against the Old Firm this year. But I think you look at Rangers just now, it's amazing what 2-3 new players can do, because it was only 2-3 months ago where you're talking about Rangers squad saying, I mean, the squad's not good enough, it's too thin. You know, there's a significant drop off when one comes in for the other. You look at it now, Rangers are making 4 or 5 changes a game, and the individual performances and the collective aren't really dropping off. You know, Desser scores 2 at the weekend there. I've no doubt Fabio Silva will probably play on Wednesday, just like when Fabio Silva scored last week and then Desser comes in. So listen, they're chopping and changing, and whoever's coming in and getting the jerseys, not really letting anyone down. But I do think the advantage I do see Rangers having is that defensive record. 13 goals against throughout the season, 4 away from home. I think if they continue that from now to the end of the season, it could just edge them.
So all a matter of personal interpretation, but I go back to the point that I made earlier on, that in the 19 league games that Philippe Clement has had, he's taken 9 points more than Brendan Rodgers had over the same 19 game period. Everything points to Rangers. They're playing well. They're growing in strength. Celtic, at the same time, there's no doubt that, as I say, that they're going from game to game on a wing and a prayer. And that there's no settled side. The team on Sunday mirrored the fact that we're almost into March, and Brendan Rodgers doesn't know what constitutes his best team. I think Celtic have a really, really tough afternoon coming up against Hearts at Tynecastle on Sunday. I think they will drop points there. I think that Rangers will go through the remainder of the season, the league season, and not lose. I'm not saying they will win every game.
How many predictions have you just made in one goal? That is spectacular.
That's why I'm sitting here. I'm here to offer an opinion. They will not win every game, but they will not lose any.
Everyone in Glasgow and the West writes that down, and I'm sure we'll remind you if and when you get them wrong. Anyway, thank you, Ian. 01419511025. We will give these to a full-time teaser next.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Yes, hopefully lots of you have already acted and got your tickets to Clyde One Live. Hugh Keevans is telling me he's besides himself. He's going to get his best outfit looked out. The first act was announced for Friday the 31st of May. If you've not heard it, is Amy McDonald. 12 million songs sold, a billion streams. And they'll tell you what that is during the break. She's already sold out the Hydro by herself and now going to be part of her 50th birthday celebration. So, if you fancy it, Clyde1.com. And she's just the first artist to be announced. The next act will be announced Wednesday, Bowie at Breakfast, just after 8 a.m. So get your place before the tickets sell out now at Clyde1.com.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans are here. Still plenty of time to get your calls in, so please do. And you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Thanks to Jerry for this question. Let's give it to the guys.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride. Call now to score a free no-obligation quote.
Right, it is the full-time teaser. That's when you send the questions to us and we try, that being the key word, to see if the pundits can come up with the answers. So, Jerry tonight wants you to name 10 players who are currently in the Scottish Premiership who have played for their current club before. So ultimately then their second or third or fourth whatever spell at their current club. So there are 10 players in the Premiership who've previously played for their current club before. They're back at their club. What do we think?
Leon Balogun.
I honestly did not expect Hugh Keevans to get one of them before you, Andy.
No, honestly, that could be a
hang your head in shame.
I could toil with this big thing.
Chug, that's good. Yep.
Because Matty Kennedy.
He's flying. Come on, Andy, keep up.
Oh, I'm telling keep you, up. I could toil big time with this.
Matty Kennedy back at Kilmarnock.
Martin Boyle.
Yes, well done. I'll take one more guess and then we'll move on. Yeah, an easy one. He's got the bit between his teeth now. Thanks to Jerry for that. If you like the sound of it, you think you could come up with a question that would catch the pundits out, it's fulltime at Clyde1.com. That is the email address you need, so please do. Let's bring in Dougie, who's a Rangers fan. How are you, Dougie?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
I know you've got a couple of things on your mind, Dougie. So start with your Rangers game at the weekend.
Like I say, good evening, Gordon, Hugh and Andy.
Thanks, Dougie. Good evening to you too.
Right, although I'm a Rangers fan, I would like to talk about the young boy that plays for Motherwell, Lennon Marr. What a player that boy's got to turn out. 17-year-old. And the way he turned that defender yesterday, and he didn't get a hot head to go for a shot. The ball played into player Spittle for their goal. Absolutely brilliant. And I would like to ask Andy, you must see him in training, Andy. What do you think of him?
It's funny you mentioned Dougie, because me and Gordon were talking before the show about the turn alone's impressive, but it's then the composure for a 17-year-old to not get caught in the stars of the moment and then doing that turn and whipping one in the top corner. It's the composure to then see the pass, wait a pass, and then obviously produce that that assist for the opening goal. But listen, he's a fantastic talent. I spoke about him plenty of times before I even signed with Motherwell, but then seeing him day to day, he's just got such an experienced head on young shoulders where doesn't get too carried away. Such a willing learner, which I think is huge for a boy at his age, where he doesn't get too carried away with a first team appearances he's made at such a young age. I don't really see him have many weaknesses, to be honest. I think he can do most things. I think his attributes are far and wide. Where in an attacking sense, he's got attributes defensively. His positional sense for such a young age as well is really impressive. But I think he's in a really good place at a really good club that are giving him great opportunities. I see first hand how much. The manager sort of deals with him day to day to help him improve as well. And listen, he's a fantastic young talent, and I think it's a case of Motherwell are very lucky to have him, and Lennon's lucky to have Motherwell.
I think he'll join a succession of very, very good young Scottish players abroad. Do a Lewis Ferguson. I think he should broaden his horizons and think along those lines. He clearly has it to play in Italy or Spain, anybody likes. And I think he should think big and do, if not the continent, do a Billy Gilmour, go down south. You know, he could be the next biggest thing after Billy Gilmour. So I think that's where his future might lie.
I think there's a tendency, it's not just us, we all do it. I kind of noticed it with some of the youngsters that played in the Carabao Cup final. We bracket youngsters all together, whether they're 17 or 21, as if there's no difference. You know, but as Doogie says, 17, not even nearly 18 for what it's worth. And something I noticed about the goal as well, Doogie and you are saying, you know, you think you would have got rabbit in the headlights or see names and lights and take a shot, but I also thought he was going to slide it to Paul McGinn. Paul McGinn's like begging for it, and he almost looks like he's going to, but just spots Blair Spittle. Has he always got that? Is it like a, can you teach that bit, I wonder? Because he's so young, so how do you?
I think you can, but I think that's more through experience. The likes of composure comes and not getting caught up in the emotion. And
well, that's what I mean. Is that rare to have it at that
age? 100%. I remember the first time I spoke about him on this show this season, and I actually gave him Performer of the Weekend when Motherwell won at Tynecastle against Hearts, and at that time he was 16. So I'm giving him Man of the Match performances of the weekend at 16-year-old. And again, my mate, we're only 6-7 months into the season. He's probably got 20-25 appearances under his belt. He's obviously in the Scotland national setup as well. But again, what I stress that the biggest thing for me is how much he's still willing to learn. He's not getting carried away with himself. I've seen so many hot prospect youngsters with the world at their feet and a lot of potential get carried away in the moment and then lose that ability to develop while you're still a first team player and learning the game. But every single day he never changes. Gordon, if he's found himself out of the team when he came back for injury for maybe 2-3 games, you wouldn't see a change in his demeanour. There's no huff, there's no strut. It's again turning up for training, doing the right things, trying to get back into the team. And obviously he's took his chance at the weekend in pressing again.
What do you think, Dougie?
Brilliant. Now, as Andy said, he could have had a hot head and went for a goal himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he seen Blair Spittle coming through, and it was a delightful ball, perfect weight on it for Spittle to put it into the net. I think the boy's absolutely brilliant, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be an important end to the season. What about your own team then? What did you take away from the weekend?
Well, I was at Ibrox on Saturday, and oh, what a game it was. Sorry, Andy.
He's not a
Hearts
player anymore.
Don't
say sorry to me, Dougie.
Don't worry,
I'm not there anymore.
I know, you're a blue nose, isn't it? A bargain, mate. But, no.
I was going to say, the notion that Andy Halliday would be disappointed by that result at Ibrox at the weekend was, you'll have half the city in stitches with that one, Dougie. But you were happy about it, yeah?
I was delighted. What a performance it was. And the best thing about it, right, I sat where my seat is just behind the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
And we were 5-0 up, and Falkirk come on, is still pushing forward, mere goals, at 5-0 up. We've not seen that for a good few years.
There's almost a worrying aspect to it. Hearts are the third best team in the league. That's the fourth time this season they've lost to Rangers. And not only did they lose to Rangers, they were taken apart and 5-0 flattered them. It could have been 7, 8 or 9. That, for me, no bad reflection on Clement. I knew it would be that way, and he is a very, very good manager in our midst, and Scottish football should be happy that he's here. But the standard of opposition this season, we've got to up our game. Aberdeen are in the grubber. Hibs can't get into the top six. These are our top clubs.
See, to be fair to Hearts, though, the run they've been on in their points total, so they're having a pretty good season for a third place team. Is it not just the nature of the gulf that sometimes that's going to happen?
Well,
you know, I'd see the point if they were 35 points behind Celtic, you'd be saying they need to get closer. But actually, their points total is pretty good.
I just think the overall complexion of the league, Kilmarnock, everyone gives them great praise and rightly so. But there are too many teams who are, for me, not competitive enough.
Andy, Doogie's happy that Philippe Clement was urging Rangers on to try and score a fifth and a sixth and so on. What about to combine that with Hugh's point? Sometimes when it's the third best team and it's a team that's going well, you build it up, you go there with optimism, you think maybe you know you can affect the game, you can go and impose yourself, and then sometimes that happens. It is quite, I'm thinking back to that previous caller who said, I mean, well done to Hearts for coming and having a go. I bet he thinks that because Rangers scored five. Is the harsh reality that sometimes it is the old kind of park in the bus bit that gives you the best chance of sneaking something?
Potentially, but I think no matter what your game plan is, if you concede within 90 seconds, your game plan's almost out the window from the get-go because you're chasing the game so early. But listen, Hearts are on a great run, 8 wins in a row. I've no doubt they've went into that game with confidence. And to be honest, from the outside looking in, I made Rangers favourites for the game, don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't have envisaged a 5-0. And like you quite rightly said at the top show, could have been 7, could have been 8. Mm-hmm. Such were the chances that Rangers created. But to be honest, no wonder Philippe Clement's urging his team to do more, because like I said, I think this is going to go down to the wire. So that 6 plus goal difference that Rangers have over Celtic, that's a point for me. That's another point. As much as we talk about the two points in hand over Celtic just now, 6 extra goals feels like another point. So these extra goals that Celtic scored, and obviously the winner in the 94th minute, that 96 minute third goal for Celtic could be so important come the end of it. That's how tight I believe this will go.
Thank you very much to Doogie on the line, 01419511025. That was the number that Doogie dialed. Let's hear a bit from Philippe Clement. I don't think we've done that yet. He was having his say on the game at the weekend as well. Saturday it was a 5-0 victory, of course, as we just discussed. And the Belgian says it was a top display and he's happy with his side's hunger.
But it's been one of the best until now, I think. No, I'm really pleased. But I see what I see in the trainings. So it's not that these things are falling out of the sky. The team is growing. We've been talking about that a lot last weeks and months. This first goal of Dio is really important in a game like that to open up the game. And then we continue it. And that's good that there's now the hunger and desire never to stop. And always wanting more. So that's the mentality I want to see.
Andy, so explain this in more detail, because to folk like me who don't really understand the correlation, I noticed Hearts had, I think, 47% of the ball.
47%, yeah.
Which is quite high for a team that loses 5-0. So what does that say about how direct Rangers are, or how efficient they are, or what can you read into that?
Well, what I will say for the get-go is that I watched the 90 minutes on Saturday. It never felt like 47%. And I think the majority of that probably came in the last sort of 20-25 minutes where Hearts did have a little bit more control. But we've said it for the start. I think that the real sort of difference for Philippe Clement coming in the door is that willingness to attack quickly. You know, any time there's a turnover in the middle of the pitch or a defensive third, they're looking to score as quickly as possible. And that's probably evident in the second goal that got scored with Cortez. I think it's Kai Rolls tries to play a pass into midfield. Dujon Sterlet nicks it, and within two passes, you know, Tom Lawrence is cutting out a cross goal for Cortez to score. So I do think they have that willingness to get forward quickly, score goals. And at times it can be a bit ugly, because it then leads to a lot of turnovers within the game. But when they have a 90-minute complete performance, when it works like that, it's obviously very, very good to watch.
Right, come on then. 10 players in the Premiership previously played for their current club before, so they're in their second.
Can I clarify? If they've been on loan and then signed permanent, does that count? Because I've got about 5 of them.
I don't think so. Test for example, some of the names. No.
Right, okay, so that takes away four.
No, I think they'll have to have been away and came back,
okay,
ultimately.
No problem.
Yeah.
Let me take away Duke, Clarkson, Fish.
Yeah, rubbish.
Right, so Shinny.
Yes, Graham Shinny. Hugh?
Stevie May.
Yes, well done. We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home straight with Hugh Keevans and Andy Halliday, but they have still work to do on the full time teaser. If you want to send one in, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. Tonight's is from Jerry, and I like it. I feel like everyone, fans of the Scottish Premiership, could get involved in this. There are 10 players in the Scottish Premiership who've previously been at their current club, so ultimately they're in their second or third spell at the club at the moment. Guys like Matty Kennedy, Stevie May, Graham Shinney, Leon Balogun, Craig Gordon and Martin Boyle, leaving you with 4 to get.
Greg Stewart.
Yes.
Johnny Hayes.
Yes.
Stuart Finlay.
Oh, three spells. Kilmarnock, one to get. Absolutely flying. I'm not giving you any clues. The last one is the most difficult by a distance, I would say. But we'll see how you get on. Right, where are we? We've given a good review of Hart's trip to Ibrox. We certainly kicked the backside out of Motherwell and Celtic. What was your other standout from the weekend? Do you want to go Aberdeen?
Well, Ross County was my Ross result. County.
I mean, what's the script with Aberdeen? The Neil Warnock hype.
A tragedy, that's the script.
There's a lot of attention there. There's a lot of sound bites. Is it coming too much on the football pitch?
You know, I don't get the point of absolutely destroying your players, saying that they need nastiness, they were bullied, they were pathetic.
Let's hear from him, actually. I'd like to hear you paraphrase him, but let's hear what Neil Warnock had to say.
We got bullied today. I just think it's the physical aspect. We haven't got any physical presence, really, in the whole squad. I think I know they're a nice group. I mean, we haven't got many players that have got an edge on them, really. You know, how many times did they leave the foot in and referee didn't do it? You know, we need one or two nasty people, I think, at times. And I think that's going to be the biggest problem in the next few months, are you with me? Getting the recruitment right, really. Because they're all nice lads. I can't fault them for being nice lads, but you want a bit of nastiness in the team, don't you? You want a bit of people standing up to be counted, and it's you know they're not there, so I can't force that onto them.
He's beginning to sound like a 1950s caricature. You know, last week it was boot the ball into the stand. They can't score if they're in the stand. And now it's nastiness.
Makes you sound like a young football hipster.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be telling us about XG in a minute.
Makes me sound like
entries into the final third.
I sound like Maurizio Pochettino next to him. But it's not funny for Aberdeen, you know, because it's not getting any better. He's won one of the four, five games that he's had. And St Johnston midweek will be very interesting. It's at Pittodrie. You would say, surely to goodness, as St Johnston slide down towards the playoff position, and Craig Levine's having a miserable time at Perth. If Aberdeen don't win that match, it's serious time, because they're then away to St Mirren at the weekend. They won't win at St Mirren. And then all of a sudden, you're looking at a cup tie, Scottish Cup tie with Kilmarnock, who have just dusted them down at the weekend. So I know he's there holding the fort, but there are ways of holding the fort. And Aberdeen, they better have a good man in mind for permanent manager next season, because it's sliding away. If Miovsky left that club, they'd be in a bit of a state. And Graham Shinney must be, because he's the one that does have nastiness, professional nastiness, and all the heart in the world that you want in your team. But he must be looking around from the manager's office to the dressing room and wondering what's going on about him.
But see, for me here, that I don't think that's even a true analysis of the game. They got outplayed. Kilmarnock battered them for 90 minutes. They created umpteen opportunities. They were lucky it was only two. So I think it's easy to just say, we got bullied on the day. They got outplayed. Kilmarnock were thoroughly deserving of their victory.
That's still, you know, in isolation, there's no shame in going to Kilmarnock and losing.
Saying in your pre-match comments that, you know, no one will be expecting us to get... Yeah. Well, they should, because you've got double the budget of Kilmarnock. You're Aberdeen. You've spent a lot of money on players. You've spent fees on players in the summer. So for me, there should be people backing you to go to Rugby Park and getting results.
If you thought this was going to brighten the place up, the fans aren't buying into it. The Aberdeen fans, you know, the weekend when the game was over, it was sacked the board, which is the usual cliche. But the fans are looking at this and saying, what is going on? They've made three bad managerial choices, one after another, on Dave Cormack's watch. And now they've got the song and dance man in, and we're back to the 50s.
The Battle of the Saints went kind of exactly how you'd expect it to on paper. Just a routine win for St Mirren. Goal in either half, no fuss, deserve to win, clean sheet, and onwards they go.
Yeah, I think the real worry for St Johnstone is where the goal's coming from, because I think over the last sort of 2-3 seasons, you've looked at Chris Kane, Stevie May, Nicky Clark, and the likes of Chris Kane and Nicky Clark.
It's been 17 in 27 games.
And it's been a real struggle to keep their strikers fit. And obviously they made a couple of additions in January. Not quite made the impact yet, but listen, St George are always a tough team to play against. They're hard to beat. They've got real physical presence. They're a threat for set pieces. But, you know, have they got that one guy? You know, Hughes just mentioned Bjorkstrand there. I know that's to the extreme of the amount of goals he's scored for Aberdeen. But is there that one guy that's going to guarantee you 12 to 15 goals? Right now, is I don't think St George have got that man.
Although, incidentally, I was just looking at the table and your teammates have 36 goals to St Johnstone's 17, yet you set one
you
place.
You never said the conceded call.
I was going to say, yet you set one place above them. So maybe the.
Yeah, the conceded call, obviously. That's the issue. And I've said it so many times in the show, I've said it to you, you know, privately as well. You look at the end of the season, it's often that goes against columns, the reason why you are on the table. So you even look at the weekend there for how solid as we were for. Certainly the first half, you know, you then concede three goals to the end of the game, and that's a relay of the team we're trying to improve on.
How's the fitness midweek coming too soon?
I don't know. It's well, obviously try and give it the sort of best possible chance of playing the game. It's obviously a real frustration for me. I don't like being injured at the best of the time, but I think when it's a new team and you've got yourself in, you're enjoying it, you're staying fit, you're getting a run of games. So then, you know, like I said, it's my first muscle tear at 32, so I've done not too bad in that regard. But it's a real frustration when you're watching games like yesterday and you're seeing your boys sort of in the trenches trying to get a result and you're not there to help.
I tell you what, I saw a great example of maternal commitment. I met Andy Halliday's mother at Fir Park yesterday. She was there cheering on the team.
Oh, she's a staunched member of the Steelmen Club.
He wasn't even in the squad. So that's like that. You think she was only there to watch her boy? Listen. She seems to be embracing the full experience.
Does she have the claret and amber scarf on or not?
I didn't notice that one, I have to say.
I don't think she would go that step yet.
She really, 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 really wanted Motherwell to win, though.
I'm
purely for you, I'm sure.
No,
purely,
no. I don't
purely,
think so.
Purely for
this
you.
This is Glasgow. Glasgow mammies. They're always there for their boys.
That's it, exactly. Big midweek, though, isn't it? Split across a couple of days, obviously.
Some huge fixtures across the board.
Tomorrow, Ross County, St Mirren, and then the rest on Wednesday. So,
see, Ross County, you know, at home, Doncowie got a nice result there Saturday against Livingston. If they were to beat St Mirren, the panic's on at St Johnstone, because that would,
and Motherwell,
yeah, that would take them above St Johnstone. So that's a biggie. And of course, I love an Edinburgh derby. I mean, I'm speaking to the king of the Edinburgh derbies here, who scored twice in one of them. But what a biggie that is. Hearts wounded, or they should be, by that performance and result at Ibrox. Nick Montgomery finally gets away from draws. But the last time out, Lauren Shanklin settled it at Easter Road. Nick Montgomery could really be doing with a good result out in an Edinburgh derby.
Forget the Edinburgh derby. Wednesday is the Andy Halliday derby, Livy against Motherwell, where he started it, where he currently is. And Davy Martindale giving us one of the quotes of the season, that he basically couldn't attract a talent like Andy Halliday.
Really?
In the January window. He tried as he...
That was 2 days after they said he was shot in the pre-mark, though.
That's true. I don't know if there was a backhanded compliment or something in there. Anyway, we are almost out of time, which means you have time to give me one more answer on this full-time teaser. Can you name 10 players currently in the Premiership who are back at a team they've played with before? I seem to have misplaced my list. No, there we go. We've got it. You're doing well. Matty Kennedy, Greg Stewart, Stuart Finlay, Stevie May, Johnny Hayes, steady, Graham Shinney, Leon Balogun, Craig Gordon.
Are the initials?
And Martin Boyle.
Are the initials, in your mind, DW?
No.
No?
They shouldn't be.
I think this is a sneaky one here.
Oh, hold on. No, actually.
Oh, so it
sorry,
is?
Sorry, it is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Cheer, take it away.
Is he a St Johnstone player?
You're on fire with this teaser tonight. This has been a joy to watch.
Dre Wright.
Different. Wonderful class, well done.
But can I query that?
If you must.
Owen Beck?
Nah, not having that. Loan spells.
Well, he went back and played for Liverpool, then came back and played for Dundee.
You were just told. You were told earlier.
No, but he says he had to go back and play and then come back.
Loan spells.
Derek's an unbelievable.
Just because Hugh Keaven's has shown you up at the full-time teaser, don't take that.
6-4 in answers to Andy.
What sort of teamwork is that? Who would count that kind of thing? Shameful. Anyway, we are back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock as we build up to a huge midweek of Scottish Premiership action. Thanks for joining us. Enjoyed that tonight. Enjoyed your company. Thank you for tweeting and, of course, for calling. Hopefully, we will hear from you tomorrow night. And Lynn is in for Callum up next.